Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain. Well, clearly, you're never going to get indigestion eating at any of Rick Bayless's restaurants. But on a night of stress and strain in the theater, who knows what can happen? Welcome, everybody, to Paul Listick Behind the Curtain. This is Paul Listick from WGN-TV. As always, having fun on my weekly podcast as we enter the world of entertainment. And that song, Food Glorious Food, from the show Oliver, which you remember, I thought was a great lead-in to a new show with one of my favorite theater companies that, yes, is coming back. Windy City Playhouse is returning. The show is called A Recipe for Disaster. It begins on October 6th and will play for who knows how long at an interesting location. We're going to fill you all in. Let's start by introducing, first of all, what an incredible team, because this play is written by, or at least mostly written by, Rick Bayless, who, yes, the Rick Bayless, that famous guy from all of our top restaurants, the top chef, and everything. There's every award out there for food. He's got it. My favorite restaurant places to go. And Amy Rubinstein, who is the artistic director of the Windy City Playhouse. And I'll stop talking about introductions. Let's get to the show. And Amy, I'm going to start with you because you are back. You know how I love the immersive theater of Windy City Playhouse, and you're about to do it again.
We are so excited to be back. It's been such a long break, and this is just the perfect show to come back with. So I couldn't be happier to be working with Rick and the whole team. And we are thrilled to bring this hilarious comedy to fruition finally.
And Rick, you're not new to this kind of venture, right? You've done some other of these, I'll call it dinner theater, literally dinner theater, in these kind of adventures where food becomes part of the adventure. But tell us a little bit about A Recipe for Disaster, and because I know it takes place at the Contumacious Pig, not one of your restaurants. It's influencer night. What led you to say, I'm going to do this again?
Oh, we've been playing around with this idea for a while, Amy and I have. And, I just love to tackle new things. And when we did Cascabel with Looking Glass Theater, it was really about the story of one meal and how that meal affects people in so many different ways. And it's a story that I've told forever in that we have to be open to the power of food and how it connects us as human beings, how it connects us to our past, and how the food itself can actually sort of be an integral part to our own narratives. And this is not that show. This is a really different kind of show. This is literally all of these crazy things that have happened to us over the years, because we're getting closer to our 34th anniversary on Clark Street, and all you can imagine, lots of crazy things that happen because we have thousands of people through here all the time. And so we sat down, Amy and I did, and my wife and Carl Menninger and my son-in-law Kevin, we all sat down and we just told stories. They recorded them and we started to build a fun script out of them. Now, so I can say that all the craziness that transpires in Recipe for Disaster is based on true stuff, but not stuff that all happened on one night. And so part of the hilarity that comes out of this is the fact that if it can go wrong, it probably does go wrong. And we have put together what I think is just an absolutely spectacular group of people. And because it's immersive theater, things are happening all around you. There are actors who are patrons and waiters and cooks and managers. And we have Well, I'm not going to give away the whole thing, but I'm just going to say that we have visitors that come in as well. So it's a really, really fun thing. And I think, just as Amy just said, this is the perfect show to come out of the darkness that has been the pandemic and to come back into live theater with. But yes, there is food involved, and yes, everybody that comes will get to taste through these tasting portions of dishes that are going on the new menu for Contumacious Pig.
And by the way, Rick, just to clarify, you're the playwright here in Cascabel, which I absolutely love, one of the best meals I've ever had in my life. You're not in this show. We won't see you performing in this one, correct?
No, I'm not. This is, well, one thing is I had shoulder surgery just recently, and this is a very physical show. So we decided that we weren't going to do that for this one. And this is also an open-ended run. And when we did Cascabel, you know, I committed to 8 weeks to doing that, and then it was over. Not that I wouldn't love to be in this show, because it is a really fun show to do, and we're sort of in the thick of the rehearsals right now, and I can say that as much fun as we had writing it, I have watching it. It's just so much fun to watch it come to life.
Now, Amy, of course, I'm so used to seeing the incredible shows that you do at the Windy City Playhouse up on Irving Park. And of course, you have the downtown or the South Loop location. This is different. This is at Petarino's. So can you fill me in, first of all, in a general way, because of the pandemic, what is the status? Are the other two theaters, are we going to see a comeback there? What's that status, and what brings you to Petarino's, except the obvious access to the kitchen?
Right. So we are opening back up our flagship location, 3014 West Irving Park. That will open in January with our next show, Sons of Hollywood. So right now it is going to stay dormant for a little bit. We decided to open Recipe for Disaster downtown for a couple reasons. So like Rick says, it's an open-ended run. So we want to be able to have want it to be accessible for all parts of the city to get to, also for tourists coming in to get to, and it was really convenient for us to be able to find a location that had a kitchen already built, so that also. And, you know, Petarino's is right next to the Goodman, it's right downtown in the Loop, so it's just a really great location for us, so we're thrilled to be able to be there.
And what about the South Loop location that you've had?
We will not be producing there right now. There is a music venue that's going to be opening up there that is not us.
Okay. I just wanted to know, because I love everything you do and everywhere you do it. And by the way, at Petarino's, just so people don't get confused, Amy, you know, because Petarino's itself just got an email. They're ready to open to the public. I think it's around October 5th, so it's pretty much at the same time of your show. But people should know, they're not coming in off of Dearborn and sitting there where, oh, my picture hangs up right behind the reception desk. We'd love people to walk by that. But no, you're on the kind of that club level, so we actually enter on Randolph, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we have our own entrance right there on Randolph, and it is the club level.
I'll just interrupt to say that that Amy just had this amazing idea. We were planning on doing a Recipe for Disaster at their flagship location on Irving Park, but then as we were sort of going through the pandemic and realizing that there were spaces, real restaurant spaces that were available, Amy had this amazing idea to just reach out and see if we could find a restaurant that perhaps had closed during the pandemic and that we could actually do this show in. And we came, the Petarino's was completely reconcepting and everything, and they were willing to offer us their downstairs space, which is just spectacular. It means we can have a bigger audience there, and we can, it's just wonderful to be able to do immersive theater in a real restaurant. And plus, we have a kitchen where we can prepare all the food in a great way.
And, you know,
it was one of those silver linings of the pandemic. You know, it was just, sadly, a lot of restaurants did vacate, and that gave us that that opportunity to be able to have that prime location.
And I guess, because, I mean, I know it was an event space for them, so obviously, Amy, they're willing to commit for an extensive period of time as this show, I hope it runs forever.
We hope so, too.
And it was so great. Of course, there's also Teatro Zanzani, which is just very close to you. Also, this sort of full evening experience. Mm-hmm. So you guys are really helping bring back the loop. And it just needs it. We need the revitalization right now. As you've said, tourists, things are going to change. They're going to turn around. And to see Rick Bayless, a key part of this, is just amazing. So, Rick, in this little postcard that got sent out, I got this and I kept it. And I'm not going to read the paragraph, but in one little paragraph, it let people know what this show was about. I'm just going to read you a little of it, since you said this is all based in truth. It says it's influencer night at the restaurant, one of the city's hottest restaurants. You've got folks like at Vegan Chic who are coming, so obviously to perhaps review what's going on. However, there's a problem. The head chef called in sick. The sous chef might have taken the wrong pill to calm his nerves. The health inspector shows up. It goes on and on. So what you are saying is that as I sit and enjoy that show, I hope to be there opening night, this stuff one way or another happened to you.
Yeah, it did. There is a one theme that runs through the whole thing. That, again, I will not give away, but there's this one crazy theme it's all based in truth. It's all of these crazy things have happened to us.
And I'm guessing, because I know you are listed as playwright, but I know, Amy, you had something to do with it because you understand certainly what Windy City Playhouse shows need to look like. You also had Carl Menninger, but I was also intrigued when I saw Deanne, your wife, was involved in this. So she must have said to you, Rick, oh, no, if you're writing a story about the disasters, I'm part of that.
Oh, she did. No, we had so much fun. And actually, it was another silver lining of the pandemic that this show... Yes. We had envisioned opening 1 year ago, but obviously there was no theater 1 year ago. And so it gave us an extra year to just meet every week. It was like my favorite moment of the week. We met on Wednesday evenings and we just laughed and laughed and worked on the script. And I will say that is one of the most enjoyable things that I've ever done. I'm super passionate about live theater. And I'm also really passionate about the way that theater and working in restaurants, the whole restaurant life, they're so parallel, because in a restaurant every night, the curtain goes up at a certain time and you have to be right on, and you have to go through the whole thing and create magic for people. And that's exactly what happens in live theater. And that's one of the reasons I think I'm attracted to it.
Can we assume, by the way, that maybe from time to time, the great Rick Bayless might just show up and surprise people and, you know, do a cameo?
Only if the great Amy Rubenstein also comes in with me, because she's got a character she can play in there, too.
Ah, so somebody is based on her.
We're all daring each other to go in. So, you know, might just happen one of these days.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, after I see it once or twice, I'll go in. So that's all fine, right?
So Amy, I think we have obviously a plan.
So look, some shows are starting to come back. We see that. Everybody's being very careful. I mentioned Teatro Zanzani because that, of course, also involves food service. But I know folks who are listening to this, everybody's got pandemic concerns and COVID concerns. So, Amy, let folks know how they're going to be safe when they enter Pederino's and enjoy A Recipe for Disaster.
Absolutely. Well, we are requiring vaccinations to go to the show. So that's a really big step that we took. We felt like it was important for the audiences and the actors and the staff to all know they could be safe and comfortable in the space. And then beyond that, we are following city mandates. So right now, there's a city mask mandate, and we're asking our audience members to wear masks when not actively eating and drinking. But the numbers in Chicago are looking really good right now. They're going down, 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 and we hope that mandate gets lifted, and we will continue to keep requiring vaccinations so people can feel comfortable there.
Amy, talk a little about the casting. I'm not sure if maybe you and Rick had something to do with the casting, but what kind of folks were you looking at? Because there's a whole bunch of people in the show. And again, in my mind, I have sort of visions of these, of like Cascabel and some of these other crazy type shows that Rick has done, which are so wonderful. That's a compliment. Tell me a little bit about the casting that went on here and the characters.
Yeah, we were excited to start bringing actors back in for auditions, and it was really, we kept finding their first auditions back for most of these actors. But it's it's a really great assortment of lots of funny comedians. We've got one circus performer, and it's eight actors, and they're all fabulous. And we're in the middle of Tech Week right now and getting through all of the craziness, but they're really a really talented bunch. We have a few people that have been with us before that have come back, which is great to see. You know, we had so many actors come through with Southern Gothic, and so we've got a couple actors back from Southern Gothic and then from Boys in the Band, and we've got an assortment of oldies and newbies.
Yeah, and I know Boys in the Band is that's when the shutdown happened, and it was such a great show that was, and I did read, you know, you kind of posted that you would not be able to sort of reopen that show, but kudos on that. I'm sure Rick has seen all your shows as well. Just such amazing work. Rick, I decided when I was at Cascabel that you personally made my dinner. I determined that that's what happened, and so as we look at this, I'd rather think that way, and as we look at the new show, can you talk about, how do you make the cook? Because obviously you're not cooking every meal and all that. How does that happen? Are you getting a group of chefs trained? How does this happen? And I'm sure it's all under your supervision.
Oh, for sure it is. And we've been working on not only the recipes that we're going to be doing for this production, but also the production side of it. Because the one thing that we certainly learned in Cascabel is that the normal way that food is prepared and delivered in a restaurant is really different than the way it has to be done in a theater, because you can't just stop all of the action to get the food out. And so we have built in some really fun and strategic ways of getting food to everybody that's in the audience in this one without slowing down the pace of things. And actually, immersive theater works really well for that, because it gives us this little buffer in the middle of it, because there's action going on in many different places even at the same time. You have to know what you're doing. You have to be very strategic in how you make the food, and then how you hold the food and how you get it to the guests, so that everybody's getting something that's really good and delicious at the right moment, so that they can continue on with the story and it doesn't disrupt the narrative.
And Amy, for people who are going to be new to Windy City Playhouse, they have to understand what they're in for. This may be a little different. I mean, when you first opened Southern Gothic and we were all invited to the party where the cast did their thing and there's food all around and people are enjoying it and sort of roaming around the party and just making sure we stayed out of the action and noises off, where you moved us around and shows where we're 1 minute we're in a sauna, then we're in a restaurant eating rice crackers and having some sake. I mean, what you do is absolutely, it truly is my favorite thing in the city. But for folks who have, this is going to be their first experience with you, talk to me about, do you remember our very first interview? I said to you, you need to make immersive theater your thing, Windy City Playhouse. I'm going to take credit for all this as well, but you agreed to do it. And it's just the best. Tell people what they're in for when they come to immersive theater, Windy City Playhouse, here or the January show.
Absolutely. We want to surround people with the show. We want people to be inside of the show. We don't want any of our audience members to have any responsibility to do anything right or say anything right, but we want them to feel like they're inside of it. And so, you know, we found that it's just everything is on steroids when you put the audience inside. Everything is more emotional. Everything's funnier. Everything's bigger and brighter. And so when you come to see any of our shows, we're going to give you that up close inside view, so that you feel like you're living inside of the show instead of seeing it from the outside. And so here, you're invited to come in. It's influencer night at this restaurant, so like critics night, right? And as you walk in as an audience member, you are one of those influencers. So you are going to be receiving those tastings of the menu, and you're going to be receiving those drinks that they're going to drink. And you're around you, you're watching this restaurant do its best to try to put on the perfect night, but everything comes in its way, and things start to fall apart, and you're right inside of that restaurant watching it happen. So there's no pressure on the audience to do anything. It's not like Tony and Tina's Wedding, where you need to have witty lines to say back, or, you know, it's not interactive in that sense, but you just get to be inside of it. And we do allow people to move around. So you'll be given your space where you're going to get all of your food and drinks, but then in between, you're welcome to wander around this restaurant and go get your up-close view of whatever scene you really want to be watching.
And Rick, you have worked with other theater companies. Have you said The Good Men? And I think you've done some stuff with Looking Glass. You've done this kind of thing before. So let me ask you, I don't know how long you've known Amy, but you couldn't have picked a better home to do something like this. Can you tell us how this came about? Were you guys friends before you saw productions at Windy City Playhouse and said, "This, I have to do this"?
This is kind of a funny story, but the Noises Off was coming to its last week or something like that, and it's one of my favorite pieces ever. And we've seen so much stuff at Windy City and just absolutely loved it. So I just sort of reached out and said, I know this performance is sold out, but do you have room for two people on this Sunday matinee? And so right away, Amy, we didn't know each other. Amy responded to me and said, yes, we'll be happy to work you in, and I'd love to get to know you. So after the performance, and that was one that Amy was in, but after the performance, we met in the bar there at Windy City, and all of a sudden, it was just like we were brainstorming doing a show together, because I love immersive theater. I love things that have to do with food. And Amy is like, yeah, we've always wanted to do more with food, but we don't know how to do stuff with food. Let's talk about doing something together. And so literally on that afternoon, A Recipe for Disaster was born. We didn't know what form it would take, but that was when we birthed the idea of working together. And then we got together a few weeks after that with Carl Menninger, one of our other writers and one of the co-authors of Southern Gothic, and we just started seeing if we could work together, and we just really hit it off, and it's been one of the most glorious things of my life.
So, Amy, you're always thinking about where things could go. I was going to say, you knew when he was coming, you thought, this is my next production partner, right?
Oh, yeah. It was a very dangerous favor for him to ask for tickets, because then all of a sudden it gave me that window of opportunity. Yeah, no problem. I'll give you tickets to Noises Off, and you're going to write the show with me, right?
Just
it sort of worked
so
out
great.
That way, but I was happy.
No, it was the best. It was the best ever. He'd been to the theater a few times, but we hadn't met each other. I'd known that he'd been to the theater, but we hadn't met each other in person. And so, like he said, I needed a chef partner, because we try to, we try to hit all the senses in immersive theater. And one of the things that's really hard is the food part, because we want all the qualities of art to match the same level. And food was something that we can't really do without a chef. We've, you've seen how we've tripped our ways around it in shows. We say, oh, the caterer didn't show up in Southern Gothic, right? Well, that's really cute one time, but not so cute the third time. And in the recommendation, we tried to do like little things that would be, on the table in the sushi restaurant or whatever it was. But to really get into it, I mean, you have to have a chef. And there's no one that
that's
I would
right.
rather work with than Rick.
Yeah, although I was very happy with the cheese whiz on a cracker, so you had me on that with Southern Gothic, so I'm good. And it sounds like I don't have to bring my own bag of Frontera chips.
Right.
Well, Amy, we have to wrap, but I want people to know how to get tickets and what the cost is for this, because it does include basically sort of a dinner and evening, so it's a little more expensive maybe than the average, middle-sized theater or something. Tell us what to do.
Correct. So our ticket prices go, I think, from $85 up to, I want to say, $120. So it depends on the night. It does include the food with it. You can buy tickets at our box office, which is 773-891-8985, or on our website, which is windycityplayhouse.com.
And there's drinks, right? Ordinarily, you've had alcohol, and for those who don't drink alcohol, they can have something else. Same thing here?
Correct. So we include, there are three drink tastings inside of the ticket price, and then there's also an open bar, and we've got some really great cocktails. Actually, Lainey Bayless, Rick's daughter, designed all of the cocktails for the show, and the one
oh, how cool.
at the bar, too. Yeah.
Well, I'm as excited as I can be. Rick Bayless, I, like everybody else in the city, I enjoy your restaurant. I mean, even when I'm at O'Hare, I'm stopping at your places. So it's just, it's a must. And to know that we're going to spend an evening watching about some of the stuff you had to deal with in your career, I'm really looking forward to it. And Amy, I'm so happy A Recipe for Disaster is what takes you back into the theater world. I've missed you, and I want you to know that.
I've missed you, too. I cannot wait to see you, and we're so happy to be back. Thank you so much for having us on the show.
Well, I know I'll see you opening night. WindyCityPlayhouse.com, and in the written description on the website, I will certainly put the phone number as well. Rick Bayless, Amy Rubenstein, congratulations. The show, which is going to be a forever running hit, A Recipe for Disaster, and now we know it's all about Rick's life. I can't wait. Thank you, guys, and have a and break a leg, and I can't wait. I'll see you in the theater.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes and tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.